In Des Moines tonight, six Democrats will take the stage in the last presidential candidates debate before the first 2020 vote in Iowa, which is now just 20 days away. Polls showing the caucus wide open. The top four contenders, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Pete Buttigieg, will all be on stage tonight, as will Amy Klobuchar and Tom Steyer. Domenico Montanaro, NPR senior political editor and correspondent, is here. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there, Robin.
So in last month's debate, Buttigieg became the target and survived. Now, Warren and Sanders, who've been in something of a like-minded ceasefire, an agreement, you know, not to attack each other, are trading barbs. Let me just try to lay this out. You tell me if I've got it. The Sanders campaign told volunteers to label Warren as a candidate of the elite, but Bernie Sanders says he didn't approve that. Then last night, Warren accused Sanders of telling her privately that he didn't think a woman could win the presidency. Now, in a statement, Sanders said that's ludicrous. He said the aides, presumably Warren's, who were not in the room, are lying. Sanders said he said that Trump was a sexist liar who would weaponize the fact that she was a woman. And then he said, of course, I think she can win. Hillary won by 3 million votes. So how big a deal do you think this is going to be on the stage tonight?
Well, you certainly have a disagreement there between the two principals of the campaigns. This is not just volunteers going around making these accusations. They've risen to the level of the candidates. And if you read between the lines, there's clearly some overlap there between what Warren said in her statement that Bernie Sanders told her a woman couldn't win in their meeting in 2018, and what Bernie Sanders is saying there in that Donald Trump would weaponize the fact that he'd be running against a woman. So that is going to be a flashpoint. Sanders is going to have to walk a very delicate line in explaining it. Warren is also going to have to, you know, kind of make a case for whoever leaked that information, whether or not how she comes across. So look, the optics of it are going to be really interesting lines for both of them to walk. And you're right. They have for months had this kind of detente where they were just not going to attack each other because they see each other as allies in a progressive movement, but they know that there is a big Venn diagram of voters. And if you're going door knocking and someone says to you, you know, I'm on Elizabeth Warren's team and you're a volunteer for Bernie Sanders, you have to make some case to say why that person should abandon Elizabeth Warren, and that's certainly going to ruffle some feathers.
Well, but did maybe Warren's campaign also misstep here? Because you can Google Bernie Sanders saying a woman absolutely can be president. He's been saying it for decades.
Well, you know, sure, but that's a little different than what happened in 2016, kind of as Warren puts it, as punditry, right, where there's been this debate over the last couple of years since the 2016 election on whether a woman could win, even though Hillary Clinton won 3 million more votes, as Sanders points out, in that there are some who believe that it made it more difficult to win in the states that Donald Trump had won. Now, I'm, you know, certainly not making a case one way or the other for whether that's true or not. I don't think you can quantify it exactly. I know the Clinton campaign certainly thought that there was some sexism involved, and we've heard from Democratic voters who were a little skittish early on to vote for a woman. But Elizabeth Warren seemed to win them over and prove that she could win by the fall when she started surging in the polls. And I think that's where we're at, where I had a Sanders person close to Sanders earlier in the year tell me that they're not going to attack Warren unless they get down to nearly the final two. And that's where we are with the two of them in the top four.
Yeah. Amy Klobuchar, by the way, is probably also going to have something to say about how a woman can be president.
As the other woman on stage,
right.
She'll point out.
Right. But a lot else might be going on tonight. Sanders has stepped up his criticism of Joe Biden for his vote in the Iraq war, his vote to go to war, at a time now when Democrats want to take the lead in criticizing President Trump's targeting of an Iranian general for reasons that are not quite yet clear. You've got Tom Steyer on the stage and some people saying, wow, how did he last to be of the six? Cory Booker dropped out. People are wondering where his voters will go. What will you be looking for tonight?
Well, certainly, you know, that Warren Sanders dynamic is going to be interesting, but who does that benefit? You know, Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg potentially could benefit from that. And you could see Buttigieg chime in and talk about the fact that Warren has been hitting him on backing away from big ideas when she's backed away from a pretty big idea in Medicare for All. So you could wind up seeing something of a triangular or quadrangular firing squad here with the top four candidates. And then you know, Klobuchar being able to sort of try to chime in as well and try to be a voice of reason is what I would expect. She has a lot on the line. You know, she's from a neighboring state in Minnesota, and she needs to really have a very strong showing in Iowa to probably pierce one of those top four in order to be able to continue her candidacy.
We have to mention you also have a Trump rally in Milwaukee tonight as the next phase of impeachment unfolds. Nancy Pelosi telling House members she's going to deliver those two articles of impeachment tomorrow, so the trial might start soon. But we also have this confusion about Iran. I just want to ask you about Defense Secretary Mark Esper's interview with NPR yesterday. At first, he said the U.S. doesn't have legal authority to strike in Iran because of actions of Iranian-backed militias in Iraq because of the 2002 Congressional Authorization of Military Force. And then Ari Shapiro and the NPR crew were chased down the hall by an aide who said, come back, come back. And they were asked to re-interview Esper, who reversed his answer. He said, yes, the U.S. does have the authority to strike in Iran under Article 2 of the Constitution. Let's listen.
If it is consistent with the Commander-in-Chief's authorities under Article 2 to defend the nation, our people, and our interests, yes, we do.
Your thoughts on that, Domenico?
They're very tenuous authorizations. I mean, the AUMF was not intended for strikes that lasted, you know, for almost two decades later. Article 2 is also fairly vague. It's about, you know, imminent threats and defending the security of the country. And that's why we have heard these sort of evolving or conflicting stories over the last several days on what the reasoning and rationale was for taking out General Soleimani. So, you know, I think some of the Democratic candidates on stage are going to be asking why haven't the American people, in their words, gotten a straight story?
And why do you have to send an aide running down the hall to redo an interview for such an important question?
Well, they wanted to clarify and make sure that he was expressing exactly what he wanted to express and not get himself in trouble with the president.
There you go. Domenico Montanaro, NPR senior political editor and correspondent. Thank you.
You're welcome.